My name is Janine Yazi. I am Diné, coming to you all from my traditional homelands of the Diné people in the Southwest United States. And I'm the Director of Policy and Advocacy for Indian Collective, a movement organization that is based out of Rapid City, South Dakota. And a large part of our work has been in developing the mechanisms necessary to support the self-determination of Indigenous peoples. And we do that through three pillars: to defend, develop, and decolonize. And I bring this up because it's vitally important for the vision that Indigenous peoples have in creating alternatives to these very unsustainable systems that are leading to all of these rights violations. To be able to do these things and exercise and develop their solutions in ways that support their vision for their communities, for their peoples, and that exercise their self-determination. And it's in that way that we create rights-based approaches to things like renewable energy development that are rooted in many of the principles and protocols that were so beautifully articulated as Galena presented by a global group of Indigenous peoples in Geneva, Switzerland this past October. It's been clear from the presentations of my colleagues that there are many similarities faced by Indigenous peoples across the seven socio-cultural regions of the globe when it comes to this push to implement renewable energy. It should also be emphasized that Indigenous peoples have been the champions of climate change solutions, of the need to establish stricter, more ambitious climate goals, and have been raising the alarm about the unsustainable systems and the unjust systems that are negatively impacting all sacred life, including our peoples, our nations, around the globe. And despite this, the transition that has been implemented does not represent many of the goals and the calls to actions that Indigenous peoples have been championing in order to address this shared crisis. Because the just transition framework, as it's being promoted by many governments, and especially as it's been promoted and articulated in North America, becomes a framework that solely focuses on jobs, on maintaining the status quo, on ensuring continued monopolization, power, and control of energy companies. And doesn't really adequately address some fundamental questions we need to ask about consumption, about the efficiency of existing energy infrastructure and energy grids, and about the waste, the rampant waste that is caused by energy infrastructure. Neither does it address the root injustices that have come from resource colonization and energy colonization and the legacy that has left across Indigenous communities and Indigenous nations and lands and waters across North America and beyond. And for that reason, we are seeing so many inadequate solutions being put forward. That don't get to the fundamental rights issues that Indigenous peoples have been trying to get addressed with more holistic, sustainable approaches to renewable energy development and to supporting climate change solutions. There's so many different examples that I could pit about those impacts, and I know we have time constraints. So I saw many important representatives from groups and organizations based in North America join this webinar, and I invite you at this time to include in the chat some of the examples of the ways that your peoples are impacted negatively by renewable energy projects, but to also, if you have projects that you are putting forward, to also share that information too, because there's no way I would be able to cover all of them. But a few examples of the negative impacts to Indigenous peoples as a result of renewable energy really comes from the renewed investments and the national push To look at mining of critical minerals as a national security issue. And there have been different areas of resistance led by Indigenous peoples to halt these destructive practices, but unfortunately have continued to create precedents that is privileging these national interests over the rights of Indigenous peoples. One such example is the campaign to save Oak Flats, a territory that is very sacred and important to Apache peoples. And to several different surrounding tribes, and that has significant biological and ecological purposes for climate resiliency in the Southwest. And that project is being carried out by Resolution Copper, which is a subsidiary of some of Rio Tinto, as well as BHP, players that we know have caused devastation in many parts around the globe when it comes to Indigenous peoples, for the purpose of mining copper ore. Then we have the Blythe Mesa Solar Project, which is a project that's been carried out by Renewable Resources Group, that was opposed by the Colorado River Indian Tribe. And again, the judge ruled in favor of the company and federal agencies because the national renewable energy targets were considered more important than the rights violations of the Indigenous peoples that were impacted by that project. And then we're seeing more as this push to transition to renewable energy continues to be pushed by corporate and federal interests. We have the Plan de Sonora in Mexico. We have lithium mining and deposits being targeted on the Navajo Nation in the Black Hills and in Nevada at Thacker Pass. And a lot of this is because, like, globally, 54% of critical minerals are found on our near Indigenous peoples' lands. In the United States, 89% of copper reserves, 79% of lithium, 97% of nickel, and 68% of cobalt resources are within 35 miles, are on, are adjacent to Indigenous people's lands and territories. And that doesn't even include the deep sea mineral deposits that are being targeted as well, just off the coast, across the West Coast, in the Pacific, off the Alaska coast, that also impact Indigenous peoples, territories, peoples, and ways of living. And on top of this, on top of these continued practices, we're seeing an increased threat for the renewal and resurgence of uranium mining, processing, milling to support nuclear energy, which has been deemed a transitional energy to help with the move towards renewable energy resources. All of this goes to show how the current trajectory of just transition as led by states and corporations do not fundamentally address the needs that we hold, not only as Indigenous peoples, but as humanity, for alternative approaches to renewable energy development that is rights-based and that is justice-based. And so when we look at efforts that have been led by Indigenous peoples, there have been efforts to completely reevaluate just transition from the perspective of Indigenous people's life ways, value systems, and sense of responsibility, understanding of responsibility to Mother Earth and all forms of sacred life. And that's where we get a lot of the language that's in the Just Transition Outcome document. I've had the pleasure of working with Dene-centered research for evaluation based out of the Southwest United States, led by Dene, traditional knowledge holders and elders, who put forward the concept of just transformation, because recognizing that the just transition and moving from one path into a slightly different one, but still continuing on the status quo practices that are bringing such destruction to our ecosystems and to our people, is not the vision that we hold for our people and for future generations. And in that, we're seeing the emergence with that concept in mind of beautiful projects that are led by Indigenous peoples. One of my favorite is Old Crow Solar Project, based in the Yukon, in which Indigenous peoples designed and developed their own energy project. Oh, there's my time. Their own energy project that protected the permafrost, that restored the local ecology, or protected the local ecology and plants that were important for the people and for the wildlife. That was designed in a culturally significant way, and that led to the first power purchasing agreement that centered community benefits for the Old Crow Reservation. We see the same with Navajo Power, with Native Renewables, with all sorts of different indigenous-led renewable energy companies, because they start a lot of their development answering the question, what do we need energy for? And the design and implementation is about centering the well-being and the protection of all sacred life, as well as centering community benefits of those that are most impacted. And it's with that pathway forward that we can find solutions that not just benefit Indigenous peoples, but that benefit all peoples in Mother Earth. And that is the theory of change for Indian Collective, and why we will continue to support efforts like this and to support Indigenous-led projects, because they are the most effective and efficient way to help address the legacy of contamination and violent impacts to earth and to peoples from the status quo and the way things have been developed, and provide a pathway forward that restores our wholeness to ourselves and to all peoples and planet. Ehyeha.